Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
And welcome to the 438th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch. Here today with my magnificent co-host, we have the stellar co-host himself, Sublime. I wanted to follow that up with something.
What is good? What is good? How are you?
And then we've got the competitive minded Seth Vilo.
I don't know if that's true. Sometimes I have better days than others.
That's your defining quality.
That's your identifying quality. It's that works for me. That one guy that runs Battlecast sometimes.
That one guy. I like the first one better than the second one. We'll stick with the first one.
Maybe we should call you the
Sableye supporting
the consistent Seth Vilo.
The consistent.
and that's mostly just because of my lack of ability to run Battlecast. So on that note, though, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with in 2007, where we kind of just get together, play Pokemon. If you're a Pokemon fan and you're scared to tell people, well, you can come here. We're underground, I promise. And we talk everything from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. Are there things in between? I don't actually know. What would you say? There's things
collecting the cereal boxes.
Yes, there is a turn-based DS game that we are all fan of. It starts with a C.
A particular one, yes.
yes, and that gets mentioned a lot, as I recall.
Yes, it does. All right. So welcome to
great game.
Welcome to the show. If you're new, welcome back. If you're old, I'm excited to have you here, and I hope everybody else is excited to be here. As well as you listener, who's no longer in their car because you're working at home and you don't listen to us on your Monday morning commutes. So
you listen to us because you're bored out of your mind and need something to do.
Yeah, or you're cleaning your kitchen right now,
or you're quote working from quote home
All right, but without further ado, what have you guys been up to lately? It's been a minute since both of you were on. I think
it's been a good long while.
Yeah, since both of you were on, I think.
Yeah.
I would say, quote, working from, quote, home.
Well, what about Pokemon-wise? What have you been doing? That's a good question.
I actually have a big thing.
Ooh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I actually have a big thing. I finished the Pokedex and Sword this week.
Woo!
Yeah, got that certificate, got that shiny charm, so that got done. I was like, I hadn't been really, like, into playing Pokemon on console for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I had taken a little bit of a break from it. You know how you have different hobbies and sometimes they just kind of rotate what you're most
interested in? Yeah, no, I get that. Especially when it's just like completing Pokemon and not competitive Pokemon.
Exactly. So it's like, oh, you know what? Like, while I'm on this quarantine, I might as well go finish this Pokedex real quick. I was only like 30 or 40 away from it. I'm like, okay, let's knock them out. And I did, and I got it. So that's done.
Okay, at the risk of sounding sassy, from me, not you. Tell me how much it wasn't because the Pokedex was smaller that you were able to complete it.
I mean, listen, it was the regional dex, not the national dex. Although I am thinking about making a living dex for home, so I can get that Magearna now.
Yeah, dude, I want to do that.
You don't need a living dex anymore.
You don't. It's just a complete dex.
Well, then I'm a little confused. How do you get the complete dex in?
Functionally, you need a living dex. Like, you need to have had everything once, but then you can take your Bulbasaur out, evolve it into an Ivysaur, put it in home. You don't need three separate Pokemon in there at once. They fixed that.
That's the only but you do functionally need living decks. I've been doing that too, but I've kind of been doing it in a little bit roundabout way that I've been talked about before, where I'm just like going through each gen and trying to do a living decks in each gen.
I think that's what I'll do.
It's been a lot of fun. I started with three because three's the hardest. Like, by far the hardest.
I'm going to just go in order.
But I also decided to join Gens 1 and 2 when I do it, because I don't really want to redo Gen 1 and Gen 2.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Let's Go Eevee and Pikachu, because I never finished that game, because who did?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, I can finish that and transfer stuff from there.
Oh, yeah,
to, two birds, one stone.
I don't even think that game is... I don't know that Game Freak considers that game a success anyway. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
That's a good question.
Because
that's an interesting
question. It sold 10 million copies in, like, the first month. And then it broke 11 million copies in October. And so, like, that's a really long time from, like, January 30th to, like, October 31st to sell 1 million copies.
My Eevee is super cute. My Eevee is really cute, though, Thad.
You can dress it up. You can dress it up.
It has sunglasses, okay? It's super cute.
I got to the point I could yank Pokemon from Go, and I have not gotten further.
Also, I like that I was able to get a Melmetal because I have Pokemon that game, you know?
So I haven't even gotten Melmetal legitimately because I'd have to go play Pokemon Go enough to go catch Meltan once a week. And like, you have to connect every week to Let's Go to do it.
I did that for like a month.
Yeah, I just don't have a Melmetal. I didn't have the discipline to do that.
And it feels good whenever I take over a gym or leave a Pokemon in a gym and go to be like, here's my Melmetal, suck it. it's a flex. I'm here for that flex.
Talk about like the pay to win, like with Melmetal, by the way. Like that you can get one in Go without it. But then you have to walk 20K per candy.
And it's 400.
After that. Yeah. And you need 400 candy and you've got like 20 from the research. Like that's like that Melmetal's a flex. It's a flex.
I've got a shiny one too, suckers.
Yeah.
And it's got good IVs, suckers.
Oh, mine has bad IVs. I have one and I'm like, it's not good. I might evolve it. I don't know.
Oh, what about you, Seth? You didn't do anything crazy?
Not too crazy. I participated in the Melmetal suspect test, so that's kind of what kept me on the ladder for a while. It was fun. I ended up not making the Rex because I got distracted by the fact that my Skyrim game has 293 mods active. And
that's what I'm talking about. Is this Skyrim in VR?
Yes, it is.
How is that?
It's very cool.
That sounds amazing.
I love it. I feel like a wizard. I'm actually doing magical stuff. I've got some weird mod that makes me be able to do spells in my hand and also summon swords in my hand without ever having to touch a menu. It's my favorite. But between that and my recent re-addiction to No Man's Sky because they added exomechs, I ended up not making the requirements to be able to vote for Melmetal, so oh well.
What was the result of the Melmetal suspect? I don't know. I don't know what happened. I was not following.
Yeah, it was banned. It remains banned. So it is not in OU.
Wow. Who would have thought?
I know, right? I mean, it was close-ish.
Yeah.
But it just didn't get the supermajority. Or supermajority? Yeah, whatever.
So I haven't played OU pretty much at all in Gen 8. Mm-hmm. And so what's the status of Aegislash?
It's okay.
It's in? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's still there. It's good.
I'm okay with that.
The those 10 points really mattered. So...
Yeah, 10 points made all the difference.
I think they did, and I don't think it was terribly horrible before that, but that's just Thatcher's opinion.
Mm-hmm. If you ask my opinion, I think the presence of things like Hydreigon and Dragapult make Aegislash's life much harder.
Yes.
Because it has to absorb ghost moves every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they made the smart choice to include Mandibuzz in the Galar decks, so its best counter exists.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very manageable. It's not on anyone's radar, if that's what you're asking.
No. I was just wondering what the status of it was, because like I said, I haven't played much OU, and that kind of runs into the topic later today, but, we can talk about that more later.
Yeah.
For myself, I don't know that I've been doing too much like crazy stuff. We played some Colosseum this week. That was fun. We only did Mount Battle though. We played like 60 because we needed the grind, like because it was an old Pokemon game. Welcome to old Pokemon games where the grind is real because they're just like, here are all the trainers you have to battle before the gym leader slash boss. And oh, by the way, they're all max leveled 10 levels below the max level of the boss / team leader's Pokemon. And it's just like, cool. So I don't have a chance, especially in Colosseum where like you're trying to catch a Pokemon on the opponent's team as well. So it's just even harder because they also have like a recoil base moved and you have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible time. It's a terrible time, especially when you're doing like legendary, trying to catch legendaries.
Mm.
Like right now we're on the Suicune battle and like we've tried to catch it several times and we still haven't gotten it yet, but we keep intentionally losing so we can restart the battle. It's a time. That's usually on stream, but those go up on YouTube as well. We've got like 3 more episodes going up on YouTube in the next few weeks. And mm-hmm. So if you want to catch up with the saga, it's a good time.
Woo!
Yeah. So I think that's everything, though. So I guess we can go to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, there's, I think the biggest piece of news that I'm most excited about, just from like a business perspective, is that Pokemon Journeys, the newest anime series, that's what it's called in the US, is going to be coming out. They announced a launch date, which is in itself exciting because I think new anime series are always just very exciting in general. But Pokemon Journeys is coming out. In addition to that, it's no longer on Disney XD. It's being released through Netflix.
I love that.
Netflix got that flex.
The way they're doing it is every 3 months, they post 12 episodes. So it's still one a week.
I love that because then you can binge.
Because you can binge 12 episodes at a time and you can just wait another 3 months. And I see a lot more streaming services doing this. Maybe it's just because I've been doing more Disney Plus stuff lately. And I'm really into like the Star Wars Clone Wars stuff. And they're doing like the one episode a week. And I mean, they did that same thing with Mandalorian. Instead of you can binge when it's over or you can watch it as it comes out. And I'm kind of a fan of this method where it's like, hey, here's 12 episodes and then 3 months we'll give you 12 more.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
The first batch comes out on June 12th, which is very exciting, which means like, I guess COVID didn't stop it, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like the UK doesn't get it until September 1st, which doesn't make sense, but that's okay.
Today's episode is sponsored by NordVPN.
I'm very excited for this though. It looks like an exciting series, and it seems like it's going to be a very cool anime sequence.
I'm curious. Yeah, I'm definitely going to check it out when it gets here. But I'm curious to see how it feels with just 2 protagonists instead of 3 or 4.
I think that I think the entire tone of the show is going to change. Just because the concept
is
different.
It's changed before, so I'm curious to see what it's changed into.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot different. I feel like there were too many characters in Sun and Moon.
Yeah, Sun and Moon was not my jam.
No, I feel like it started out okay. I think it started out okay because for me it felt more like a slice of life anime at the beginning. But then near the end it was just like, cool, that's too much slice of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that this one is more like, hey, we're going to go on adventures everywhere. It's the exact opposite of like Sword and Shield, where it's just like, hey, we're going to celebrate the entire franchise.
We're in Alola everywhere.
And so they're not even going to like Galar like all the time, which is very interesting.
They based out of Vermilion, I think, right?
They're based out of Viridian.
Viridian. Okay. I got them confused.
It is Professor Cerise, I believe, is the protege of Professor Oak, who is opening a laboratory there. And he sends Ash and Go out around. But Ash also ends up joining like this Champions Cup thing where he has to like...
Because he's a winner.
Where he just gets to...
Finally.
Where he just gets to like gather extra points. He's kind of like climbing the Sword and Shield ladder in PvP mode. That's essentially what's happening. Like if they start giving him like Pokeball rank and like Ultra Ball rank and Master Ball rank stuff, like then I laugh. Then I laugh real hard. So, yeah, it's very exciting. I'm very excited for this just because, one, we got a release date finally, and two, we also got we just got a lot of awesome stuff.
A trailer in English.
Yeah, we're getting a trailer. It's going to be a good time.
I like that I don't have to actually have TV to watch it. Like, That's
who
a big
does
thing.
Have TV anymore, you know?
My parents.
Who has TV?
I think this is a really interesting jump in general, just because I think this is the way that I think a lot of TV is going to go, is they realize, hey, we need to be on a streaming platform of some sort.
Yeah.
Like this, because, I mean, NBC started their own thing. This is just like business. This isn't a Pokemon podcast at this point. NBC started Peacock. CBS has its own thing. Like, they're trying to just do their shows, like, on a streaming platform. And the problem is, I don't think it's going to work. Because the whole reason we cut the cord was so that we didn't have to pay for, like, a bajillion channels.
Yeah, and already, if you have, like, the four big ones, that's, like, almost... Like, that's basically a cable bill.
Yeah, Netflix is, like, $15 a month now, and... Hulu's, like, depending on which Hulu you have, like, you, I mean, I don't pay for Hulu, though, because there's not a lot on Hulu that I care about, but you can swap my Hulu out for Funimation that I do have for my wife, and then on top of that, you know, Disney Plus, thankfully I get that for free right now.
Thankfully, I'm not interested in that one, or I'd be feeling like it's too much.
Yeah, to be fair, that one's like only $7, but I'm sure it'll go up. I think it is only worth $7 at this point, I'm not gonna lie. And just because, like, the amount of new content they put on isn't very high. It's not a lot of new content.
I will say props to Pokemon for choosing to do it through an existing service instead of adding a subscription service to Pokemon TV.
Yes.
Oh, so, hell no. Yes. Hell no. That's not even
good choice.
App. They knew.
No, I think Pokemon did a really good job there. I think this whole thing is just very indicative of, like, where TV is going.
Yeah, it's just cable cutting. That's all it is.
Yeah, I think Pokemon did a very good thing here, and I think it's just they're one of the first ones to really do it too, I think. So I'm very happy with it.
Although it helps that Pokemon had, like, certain parts of Pokemon had already been available on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
so I'm guessing they probably
You could have seen this coming back in, like, February when they dropped the new Pokemon movie exclusively on Netflix.
That's a good point.
It's to prime you for going to Netflix for your Pokemon fix.
Yeah, I also think it's, I mean, I think it was done very well. I don't know. I like this because this is the first time since it was on, like, broadcast television that I've been able to watch Pokemon as it comes out, like, on its network. Because I've never owned cable my entire life.
Yeah, what is that?
I've never had cable even when I was growing up. I always had just the antenna. And so I watched it on broadcast TV, Kids WB, Saturday morning cartoons. And then it went to Cartoon Network, and I'm like, I guess I can't watch the Pokemon anime anymore. Thankfully, YouTube existed, though, so, like, you could catch up there. And then Pokemon TV has always been a great service. I really enjoy it, and how almost everything is on it is free. So next up is Japan officially canceled its championship tournament series and its competitive circuits, in a surprise to nobody because it was canceled everywhere else. The Online International Challenge in May is still going to happen, though. Which is fair. I mean, the one in April happened for the Great Ball Guy shirt.
Yeah, nothing's stopping you from playing online.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yeah, I think you should play online. I mean, I think this is the way it should go, honestly. I mean, even, like, universities are talking about, like, having, like, a half-on, half-off, like, some, like, mixture of, like, in-person classes and video calls, like, in the fall.
If you're a student right now, my condolences.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
For your life. Just for your life. I'm sorry.
No, it's not a good time.
I'm sorry.
It's not a good time.
That sucks.
Yeah, but, I mean, even then, I think that's the way they should go with the Pokemon Championship series.
I am glad we're three old farts.
Yep. All right, so the English version of Twilight Wings came out, episode 4. That's very nice. It's a lot of fun.
That's nice.
It's a lot of fun.
I'm waiting till they're all out, and then I'm going to binge them.
Yeah.
I only saw the first one so far.
There was a public apology, though, from the Pokemon Twitter, because there is a Dewgong present in the episode, which is not catchable in Sword and Shield, and they got a lot of backlash, apparently, on the Japanese Twitter for including Dewgong in that video. And so they sent out, like, an apology that said they were sorry for making a misrepresentation of the game or something like that. It was it's very silly. Very, very silly. We talked about those original Stitch shirts last week as well, and how you can get the Johto Pokemon designs as well now. And there is a Celebi pattern that's hidden there, and I assume Seth updated it.
That is correct.
Please explain it to me, Seth.
Right. So what you have to do, it was hidden, and we didn't know. I think people were informed yesterday that it exists by Original Stitch, and they figured it out. your device that you're purchasing the things on and ordering the things from for Celebi pattern to appear must be set to November 21st, 2020. So you have to zoom forward.
How do you do that, though? Like, I can't do that on my phone.
Just go to your computer. Yeah, tell it to not synchronize with the internet.
That's so much work to get a shirt.
But think about it. It's Celebi, a time-traveling Pokemon. And Gold and Silver
Points
originally
for being
released.
Clever doesn't make people want to spend their money, though, you know?
It's still a $100 shirt.
If you want a Celebi shirt, you're going to get a Celebi shirt. Like, Joe Merrick immediately did this.
Is the design cool, though? Like,
it is. It's really cool.
Oh, I see it now. It's not as cool as I thought it would be, but it's okay.
I like the little woods. But yeah, for information's sake, Gold and Silver originally released on November 21st, 1999.
I remember
so that's
that.
Why it's that date.
I remember being very excited that those games came out.
Mm-hmm.
That was childhood right
that
there.
That was my childhood. I remember then those games came
childhood.
Out.
Gen 2 and Gen 1, you know?
Oh,
that
man.
Was childhood.
I had a beanbag chair. I remember that very vividly. Because I remember having the beanbag chair, and when I got Pokemon Silver, like the first day it came out, I just sat in that beanbag chair, played the poop out of it, and I didn't get very far, like, in retrospect. Like, something that I know would take me only a couple hours to do now.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there, but I remember very vividly, like, making it just past, like, Violet City, and I was on my way to Azalea Town, and I evolved my Totodile into Crocknaw, all on the first day. It was a good time. That was the last Pokemon game I didn't get on launch, by the way.
I don't even know when I got it. Probably for Christmas.
I didn't get it at launch. I remember I got it because my friend got it, and he played it and he showed it to me, and I didn't realize there was another Pokemon game coming out. This was before Thatch was like the Pokemon guru. And then I learned more about it, and I found out that it came out, and I was very excited, and so I ended up getting it as well. So in the video game battling news, Series 4 of Ranked Battle has been announced to run from May 1st until June 30th, which is a little bit longer than it usually runs. It usually only runs for a month, which is unfortunate. All Gigantamax forms, except for Melmetal, will be permitted for online battle. Pokemon still need to be caught or hatched in Galar. I can combine both of those words in my mind. So that means no bueno for Alolan Raichu and Weezing. They cannot come to play.
Yeah, because they have to be born in Alola not Galar.
It's stupid. I wish there was a way to get Alolan Raichu and Weezing. Like, at least do it like the Let's Go way, where you could trade for them.
That would be cool, because you have Pincushion. That would be neat.
And we kind of have that halfway anyway, right? I mean, we halfway have that. In terms of, like, oh, you can get, like, regular Persian and regular Meowth in the game. And same with Yamask.
Yeah.
I understand they did that because those have those weird, like, we gave them different evolutions thing, which is still weird to me.
I mean, they had to keep Pikachu. You can't change that, so.
No. I understand that. But, I mean, you could still make it so that you could have an Alolan Raichu or a regular Raichu, and you could trade it for an Alolan Raichu. And then
exactly.
It has all
yeah.
of the exact same stats and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that.
Missed opportunity. Maybe DLC. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe DLC could fix that. Absolutely. And maybe even you go to the Isle of Armor or something like that, and you get the Alolan evolutions in some cases, right? Like,
I mean, it's an island. There's going to maybe it'll be a surfing Pikachu there. So
yeah,
who knows?
Right, exactly. Who knows? In Pokemon Go, you can go for a single Pokecoin right now, and you can get 50 Great Balls.
I love that. I love that. That's so cool that they're doing
that. They've been doing really good with that, with the quarantine. Like, the whole, like, hey, here's one Pokecoin because we know you're not going to go spend the stops.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still going to have Community Day. But whatever.
It's going on right now.
I mean, Community Day. It's like the anti-community
It starts in 10
day.
Minutes for us, yes.
Yeah, I have a few hours, thank God.
Landorus will also be the raid Pokemon until the 28th, which is Tuesday. I don't know what it's going to swap to. And then the Buddy Up event concludes later on the first day that this comes out, Monday, April 27th. Make sure you catch your Volbeat before then. I already have one because I'm friends with Whimsicott.
Ah, there you go.
Yep. In Puckle news, Summer League is going to be delayed this year. So for those of you who are unaware, Summer League is where we actually have gym leaders that you can go and battle. And you can beat them, and we actually are working on like a badge set, but the badges didn't come yet because we ordered the pins from China, And you can imagine there might have been issues with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some factories might have been co-opted for other purposes.
Possibly.
We don't know.
Possibly. So, like, we haven't gone ahead and gotten those yet, because we do plan to have a full set of, like, 10 Puckle badges this year that you can go online and buy and get those. And you can be like, look, I participated in the Summer League. I'm very excited to be able to do that and, like, proudly display, like, these are the Puckle badges, like, on my wall or something like that, you know? I'm very excited for that, because this has
I've
been,
got
that,
them on mine.
That's been, like, my big dream for since, like, we started doing, like, modern Puckle, is I want a set of physical Puckle badges. And we're halfway there. I'm very excited.
I love it.
I'm very excited. We've got the rest of them picked out. We just haven't sent out the designs to get the pins made. It's going to be delayed anyway until the Isle of Armor release, because we want to be able to play with the new Pokemon as well. And we don't want to be like halfway through and like, oh, let's do it. So Summer League's going to be more like Summer Early Fall League this year. but I think in the meantime, I was talking around about what we should do to like kind of fill that gap. And I think we might just do another VGC tournament. We had such a good turnout for PFTT this year. I mean, we had like a giant turnout. So maybe we do it again. Have a good time. Maybe we do a vote, a community poll.
There you go.
Be fun as well. Like, what format do you want to do?
Brainstorming on air. I love it.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Perfect. All right. That is it for the news. We are going to kick everything on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz. We're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz your co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Seth and Sublime are going to be working as a team today to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions brought to us by our community members on Discord. If you want to submit questions, you can do that. There's also an incentive to do so now. We'll talk about that in a minute. One of these questions is worth 2 to 3 points, depending on how poorly they do on the first 3 questions. But other than that, every point's worth 1 point. They have a hint that they can use as a lifeline. However, if they don't use the hint and get all of the questions correct, they can cash it in for an extra point for a possible total of 7 today. They are in a race to 30 with their fellow co-hosts. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. And you, the fan, will actually get a chance to get something out of this as well. As always, this segment is brought to you by AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for just your essential nerd art needs. These people are great. What they wanted to do this time around was, what's going to happen is when trivia ends this cycle, you have a chance to be drawn out of a hat to have your name selected to get a $20 credit to AnimeGravy.com. The way you enter this is you either do one of 2 things. One, you send an email into the show, like a serious email. If it's just a 1 sentence, like, I'm just doing this to get entered into the contest, it's not going to count. If you send an email into the show at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, or you give a trivia question at our Discord server. So you can get signed up, get a $20 credit if one trivia cycle ends here in the next month or two. So let's jump right into these questions, though. So question number 1 is from Bowling for Bear, which is probably the best name I've heard in quite some time.
Sounds like a terrifying game.
You like bowling. You like bowling.
I do like bowling. I haven't been able to do it since like the end of February, but I do like bowling. So what is the only non-flying type Pokemon to have ever learned Wing Attack as an egg move? And this was a change to a Pokemon's move pool in Generation 8. I'll give you that as a free hint.
Huh. Okay.
I feel like,
So that at least knocks out it being a Gen 8 Pokemon. It is not that, because it was a change to it in Gen 8. So what has wings that didn't have wings that's one of 400 Pokemon?
Less than that.
Does it become a flying type?
I mean, that would be cashing in a hint. I feel like we got one already with the Gen 8 thing.
I gave it to you for free. Yeah.
It could become a flying type, though. Like, can you think of anything that should have had Wing Attack?
I was thinking something like Torchic, but that's not an option now.
Yeah, that's out.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wing Attack.
I will say it's weird that this Pokemon has Wing Attack.
So,
noted.
It's weird this has it. Okay, that's weird.
That's weird.
Weird, weird.
That's really weird.
So
it's dugong?
Apparently not. Gosh, what would have wings as
an
egg?
It's an egg move.
Yeah, what would have wings as a baby? Or something that could be called wings? Tauros. No, I don't know. We're off to a great start, aren't we, Sublime?
I know. This is a great question. Yeah. I love it. But also don't love it because it's hard.
It was better than the other option. So
I fear that one.
Is a fascinating piece of trivia.
It's a very fun piece of trivia.
Yeah. Let's come back to that. How about that?
You can't pass. There's no pass. There's no pass.
No one's ever done that.
No one's ever asked, but I'm going to make the rule. No one's ever asked for a pass.
You got to ask if you want things.
Weird that it gets wing attack as an egg move.
That is bizarre. Do you want to cash in the hint, or is that just outrageous?
I mean, if we don't, we're going to get it wrong. Because we haven't said anything.
I mean, I have no idea. Like, none.
Yeah. YOLO, let's do it. I'm interested. It's better than nothing.
Do you want the hint?
I'm
dying to know.
Is that this is, one, this Pokemon doesn't have wings. It does evolve into a flying type eventually. So it's weird. It's weird. It is not a flying type. It doesn't have wings. It evolves into a flying type with wings eventually.
So
Togepi?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Are there any others that become a flyer? I'm trying to think.
I mean, Togepi becomes a flying type.
It does not have wings.
It does not have wings.
It's got little thingies. I mean, I dig it. If you're good with it, I can't think of anything else that gains the flying type. That's a weird one to gain. I mean, no, Magikarp doesn't get anything at all.
Magikarp
using wing attack.
Three stages. It's a three-stage. Three stages. You got base.
It is a three-stager. Okay, well, Togepi is a three-stager.
Yeah.
Unless it's a bug.
Unless it's a bug.
There's a lot of bug flying, you know, that are three-stagers.
But a lot of those don't have moves.
Wings.
Like, Caterpie doesn't, Beedrill doesn't exist.
Sure.
It evolves with level-based evolution.
Okay. That rules out Togepi.
Well, that rules out Togepi entirely.
It's friendship for the first one and Dawnstone for
and
the second
the stone.
One. Or Shiny
so
Stone for
none
the second.
Of that.
Yeah. Crap.
Oh, God. Okay, so we have enough to, I think, maybe figure it out, though, because we know it's a three-stage Pokemon that gets
I
the flying type but doesn't
out.
Have
I'm,
it
I'm, like, feeding you hints.
I know.
We really are. Hey, Charmander?
Hey, that's a good point. Shoot.
Now that I think about it, Charizard does learn wing attack.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's outrageous for the line to have it. It does not have wings, which is why it would be like, why does that have wing attack? And it becomes a flying type. And I don't know about you, but Charmander is actually the mascot of Galar. Because of course it is. I don't know what Sobble is or Scorbunny. It's all about that Charmander. I've heard. So
if I want
like
a lizard, I don't
Charmander.
Want it to cry at me.
Yeah.
I mean, I dig
I'm
that
gonna
too.
Need an answer.
I think Charmander's the next thing I can think of.
Let's do it.
I think we should go for Charmander.
Let's do it. Charmander gets wings. It drank a Red
yeah.
Bull.
Why not?
Charmander is correct.
That
we got
is
it.
Bonkers.
What the
hell? That is bonkers.
All right.
It is Charmander. Ugh. Charmander is gains wing attack as an egg move in Generation 8. All right. So our next question
that is crazy.
Is going to be from Liger. What main series Pokemon games had interactable natural environments in wild battles? Example, can break rocks and drop berries in the background.
Gen 6.
What generation? Gen 6.
Yeah, because you could get all those berries
you
if you use specific
berries.
Moves. Yeah. Wing, if you're Air Cutter was another one that cut berries out of trees. Gen 6.
Yep. Gen 6.
That is,
Best gen. That is correct.
That gives you guys 2 points today. Our next question.
Berry harvest with Noivern. Ugh.
Our next question is our Pokedex entry, as always. So this one is going to be from Poliwo. Its Pokemon Black Pokedex entry reads, it can dig through the ground at a speed of 30 miles per hour. It could give a car running above ground a good race. Who's that Pokemon?
I'm feeling Excadrill immediately.
Not Excadrill. I believe it talks about how deep it can go in Black and White, not how fast it can go.
In both Black and White? Because it would be both.
Maybe. I feel like it's either deep or it goes faster. I think that Drillbur is a good option for this, not Excadrill.
Got it.
Because 30 miles an hour for what Excadrill is seems slow.
That's a fair point. 30 is not fast in retrospect.
Is there anything else that kind of drills or digs?
All the other ground types I can think of are like water, Orlando.
It's only its Black entry. It's not.
And if it's Black, that means it's like a.
There's only a couple Pokemon it couldn't be.
Well, it occurs to me that even though Black and White didn't natively have a lot of ground types, it did have a national dex, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And it had dex entries for all of those that might be the same as other versions. So
exactly.
Diglett or Dugtrio might be options.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those are it, though.
I feel like Drillbur's a good guess.
Yeah, I'm feeling Drillbur.
I'm feeling the Drillbur, yeah.
Let's do it. Drillbur.
Drillbur is correct.
It is
Drillbur and not Excadrill. I'm always amazed that you guys can pick out which one in the chain. You guys are very good at that. All right. So our next question is our bonus point question. So this one only has 2 answers. You get 1 point for each answer. This one's from Liger as well. And he wants to know what Pokemon, other than Smeargle, no Smeargle, are able to both learn a move that bypasses accuracy checks and a one-hit KO move. And so I will give you for free.
I think
it's a very weird. What Pokemon can learn a one-hit KO move and lock on is the question.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I thought it was can learn Shockwave and Sheer Cold. So, okay, lock on and one-hit KO move.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird.
I don't think. Wait, no. This is all correct. Never mind. These are correct.
What are the Oko moves? Just to make sure that we have those in our head. We've got
Guillotine, Fissure, Sheer Force.
Fissure.
Are there any more? I think it's just those.
Horn Drill.
Yeah.
Okay. So Guillotine, Fissure, Sheer Cold, Horn Drill are the Oko moves.
Yes.
Lock on and something else. And that is the combination, Thatch, since you fed that to us.
Yes, it's lock on plus an Oko move. Yes.
Okay, got it. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't something like lock on that's called get 'em.
Well, you know, Dragapult does get lock on. Does it get one of those other moves?
I'm
just trying to think what gets lock on.
So.
You know,
three hints.
What even
three
gets
hints.
Lock
on? Neither of these are in Sword and Shield.
Neither of them are in Sword
and
Shield.
That's fun. Then do they really even do it anymore?
right.
Can we even say that they do? I don't think they do it at all.
They're sitting at home with these two moves already.
Yeah,
so, any weird things get Fissure? Because I feel
types?
Like with it being a Gen 1 move and being a Gen 1, I think even TM, a lot of weird stuff could get that. Ground types, even Machamp gets it because everyone was afraid of No Guard Machamp with Fissure.
Except it's impossible because it gets
except
a
it's impossible.
Ability.
Yeah, but it was a worry for a bit.
This question is hateful.
For some reason, I'm thinking Articuno.
I like that. Yeah, because Articuno definitely would learn Sheer Cold, right?
Yeah, it gets sense. That at least. I know that, but I don't know if it gets Lock On.
Maybe it's not Lock On. Let me double check. I thought it got something. Articuno's correct.
Because I knew Lapras got Cure Cold.
Articuno's
like,
correct. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Lapras don't get Lock On.
Lapras is in Sword and Shield anyway, so.
Yeah.
Kick it. Okay, so that's one. Horn Drill. Is there anything with big ol' horns that learns a move like that?
Does Pinsir learn it? Because I'm pretty sure Pinsir has Guillotine.
Yeah, Pinsir has Guillotine, but I don't think it gets Lock On. Can...
It's knocked out.
Any Porygon do anything like this? No, I don't think so. I don't think it gets any of these moves.
Oh, Mind Reader is the other move. It could either be Lock On or Mind Reader. That's
what it is.
Both of these are Mind Reader and not Lock On. I apologize. The Mind Reader pool is far smaller than the
Lock On.
Lock On, yeah.
Yeah. Mind Reader and something. I'm glad I asked. Glad I asked about the lock on.
We locked on the wrong thing.
We locked on the wrong move, yeah.
I apologize. Look at us being fools. I apologize for the confusion.
That's okay. Is there any spiky psychic type? Or something?
Okay. When was Mind Reader a move? Like, what generation was
Gen
that?
Gen 2. I'll give you that for free.
No,
okay,
two,
so I'm thinking... You said that there was an Oko move in Gen 1, right? That was a TM, right?
Yeah, Fissure.
So, Mewtwo learns, like, everything, right? Could it just be Mew or Mewtwo?
Oh, Mew, I guess, technically, if it gets Mind Reader. Because Mind Reader's not a TM. I don't think Mew gets Mind Reader.
Okay.
Weird.
I'm gonna need an answer, guys.
From Gen 1.
I'm gonna need an answer.
This is hard, Thatch.
This is hard.
You burned a lot of your time on the Charmander.
That's true. That's true.
Which we got. Which we got, at least.
I was very generous with Charmander.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, jeez. That's a hard one.
Random. Really random. Does Dragonite get Mind Reader?
Maybe. You know, let's just guess that. That's a fine guess to me.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that has this combo. But let's just do Dragonite. It's probably wrong.
Let's just find
Dragonite is incorrect. The correct answer for the one you were missing is Poliwrath.
Oh, of course. That notable Pokemon.
Poliwrath gets Mind Reader.
I like Poliwrath, but like I wouldn't have known that.
Poliwrath gets Mind Reader, and I believe it gets Sheer Cold.
That's interesting.
I think it's correct. It might not be Sheer Cold.
It gets one of them.
It's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it probably learns one of them, right? Yeah.
Yes, but I mean, you could...
Maybe it's Fissure.
You could get Fissure and then bring it up with like a gen that can learn whatever it is. Mind Reader. So, there we go. Those are your numbers right there. Have fun with that. Moving on, our next question and our final question, as always, as you guys are 4 for 4, is a Pokedex or not a Pokedex, is a base stat total, and you guys have to tell us. So our next one is from Polly Woe, and I think I've asked this one before, but we'll ask it again. Which ground type Pokemon of all ground type Pokemon has the highest base special defense?
Okay. Ground with high special defense. That's a fun combination.
That's an interest. Yeah, because it's always physical defense, you know?
Yeah. A couple, just to kind of start throwing things out, are Claydol. I think that has base 120 in both of its defensive stats.
I don't think it's in both, but it is, like, very mixed type, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's the highest, but it's kind of getting us a threshold.
Yeah, it's quite high.
What mega grounds are there?
Mega Swampert, which is thick, but I don't think is that thick.
No, it's more...
Mega Steelix, which is basically all physical.
Yeah.
Mega Garchomp, which I don't think would hit 120 either.
Mm-mm.
It's all in special attack uselessly.
Mixchomp is okay, but...
Megas don't even exist anymore. I don't know why we're discussing them. They don't count.
Well, Dewgong apparently exists, so...
Apparently, yeah.
Dewgong exists, you know.
Do you think...
Illuminati confirmed.
I wonder if they're going to have to fix more Twilight Wings episodes because of that backlash.
They better.
Oh, dear.
They better. They learned. They gonna have to.
Just big blocked out portions of the episode.
Yeah. I mean, they made this, but now they have to lie in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, most of the megas are, like, most strong, you know, like, even, like, legendary ground types are always super physical, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you think something crazy like Primal Groudon would only be, like, what is it, 90 still?
It might be up to, like, 100.
Or something paltry. Yeah, but it's, like, it's not, like, that's not the stat that's super high for
No, it's the attack and defense stats for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Gastrodon's all HP. It's not special defense.
Yes, it is definitely all HP because it is surprisingly low defense.
Yeah, it's got base 110.
Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe it's Claydol because, like, can you think of that beats that?
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of anything that specifically. Yeah. I can think of lots of high defense stats, but nothing is coming for special defense.
Runerigus. Maybe?
No, that's more physical. Guys, I'm going to need the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just go with Claydol, I guess.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
Good for Claydol. It's
probably wrong, but who knows? Claydol.
Claydol is unfortunately correct. You guys,
why you do me like this?
You guys are 5 points today total. You guys are too bad. You got it. Five's pretty good. Five's a solid number.
I feel like five's the average.
Five's is, I think four's the, well, four used to be the average, but then I think it got too nice.
Oh no.
It's like 4.5 is the
so
average.
So our current standings are P. McGee is in first place with 6 points. In second place, we have a tie between Seth Bilo and Sublime with 5 points, and everybody else has yet to get on the board. So tune in next week for more Funko's Poke Quiz. And remember, you can get joined into the raffle for $20 of credit to AnimeGravy.com by just submitting trivia questions or sending us emails at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. And thank you guys for leaving iTunes reviews. We have a lot of them this week. And this one comes from Electronic Lover on iTunes. And they say, 5 stars, Thatch can be condescending, but I love the other hosts, and all the segments are great, especially the competitive team section at the end. Well, I'm glad you like some of what we do here. I apologize for my attitude, but thanks for the review. Thanks for taking the time to do that. If you want to do that, drop a review anywhere you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. It helps more people find the show and helps us grow. So we're going to move on then to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is how the landscape of competitive has changed in the past, I guess, 6 months. It's been about 6 months since Sword and Shield came out.
About that.
About that. And I honestly think that the competitive landscape has changed. Seth and I definitely have like slightly different opinions. I don't know if they're like horribly differentiated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a good topic for today, especially with Battlecast coming out on Thursday.
Yeah.
But I have also just this is something that I've been kind of ranty about, like, in the community. Maybe if I do it now, I won't do it in the community anymore. So my theory is that since Sword and Shield came out, competitive Pokemon has more or less been decentralized. So my main thesis of my argument is that prior to Sword and Shield coming out, we were all very fixated on Smogon. At least we here on the podcast were very much. This is slightly anecdotal, but something that I've also just seen like widespread through the community, at least the Puckle community per se.
Mm-hmm.
Is just that we were very focused on Smogon. We would do a lot of OU battles specifically. We really loved the OU format, the 6v6, the singles format. We really enjoyed that format. We really liked it. And we thought it was the bee's knees. It was sad that Dexit was coming, but we'd still be able to play it, even with a limited Pokemon pool. So maybe it would still be fun. And then Nintendo or Game Freak attacked. And they said, our servers are crap, and we only have a 20-minute battle timer, which, for those of you who have ever played OU, know that 20 minutes is not a lot of time to play OU battles.
Especially for me.
Especially for most people. I would say, yeah. Like, I've said this on the show before, or at least in the community before, but the average amount of time it took me, I know this because I did a lot of Gen 7, like, viewer battles on Twitch. The average amount of time it would take me to do an OU Pokemon battle was about 25 minutes. So that was the average. So we're talking like I'm going to do less than 50% of the battles now on Swish if I were to go to OU. And so I would say, for the lack of better phrasing, Pokemon killed 6v6 on cartridge.
Yeah.
Which is really disappointing.
On cartridge, definitely. Yeah.
I'm really upset about this, and for more reasons than just like killing OU. Like I'm very upset about
the whole no video being recordable thing was not my favorite decision either.
What even stings more is like there's a spectator mode for LAN, which looks beautiful, but you can only use it for local play.
Wow.
You can't use it online. That. Yeah, there's a beautiful GUI or a beautiful UI for the mm-hmm. if you watch. Well, you can't do it now, but if you used to watch the Pokemon VGC streams, they would use it. Instead of streaming from one of the competitor switches, what they would do is they'd have a switch already hooked up to a capture card, and they would just stream from that one switch that would just connect and use the viewer code.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And it looks really nice. You can see the HP of both people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. It's a wonderful UI.
Mm.
Unfortunately, like I said, it's only for local play.
Yeah. That's a big old bummer.
Yeah. Isn't that a bummer?
Yeah.
And like I said, you still can't play 6v6 singles anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
Well, I was saying before as well that maybe one part of it that is like less exciting for people this generation to play in Smogon specifically is the fact that Dynamaxing has been banned.
Oh, that's
like
definitely
kind of sort of generation. Like I would argue against that one a little bit because I mean, it's,
I feel like that makes people unexcited to play though.
So much. I mean, we're used to weird mechanics coming out, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. And a lot of teams last gen.
What mechanic has been banned before?
Certain Z moves.
That's like not the same as all Z moves though.
Yeah, you're right, but. I mean,
like, and, this is cold turkey. You cannot Dynamax.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't a requirement either. Like when Dynamax was legal, you would Dynamax in the battle at some point, pretty much. It wasn't guaranteed, but I mean, you would. And there were a lot of teams in Gen 7 that didn't have Megas, didn't have Z moves, didn't have
Gen
the crystal
7.
At all on their team.
I think Gen 7 was a very good example of that, but I think Gen 7 balanced that out very well with a number of the Pokemon they introduced, specifically the Ultra Beast.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I still don't think Gen 7 was a super balanced meta, but that's another discussion for another day.
yeah, but I mean, I kind of see and I agree with you a little bit, but I don't necessarily get hype right now over the gimmick of the generation, and I've kind of just wiped Dynamax from my brain, so it's no longer a factor in my head.
Yeah, but I think that's like making people less excited to play it.
Maybe a little bit, but I mean, when you can't do Smogon on cart anyway, it doesn't really matter that your Pokemon gets big.
I would argue it doesn't make the good players excited.
It doesn't phase the people who do Smogon regularly.
Yes, that's the answer. I would say that for like the normal person that just wants to like play casual competitive is how I'll phrase it. Like they would probably care. And I think that's probably where you see the biggest decentralization of competitive. Because before you'd have like a lot of people playing on Showdown on the servers playing OU. And I think nowadays, I think... Sigma actually illustrates this best to me because he was describing to me, he hit Master Ball rank in both VGC and in Battle Spot or Battle Stadium singles, I should say now.
Yeah.
He hit Master Ball rank in game on both of those because the ladder is a lot better than it used to be. So the ladder is very, very good. And he hit Master Ball rank in both of those. And he went ahead and said, he said that when you get to Master Ball rank, by the way, you actually get like a proper ranking. Like they tell you like, oh, what place you're in out of all of the people.
Oh.
And so when he got to VGC, he's like, yeah, I was number like 1600 or something like that. I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head. And he goes, and then when I hit Master Ball rank in Battle Stadium singles, I was like number 7,000. And he goes, I had the same record in both. And he's just like, that's just like the discrepancy, but that illustrates like the discrepancy between the number of people playing Battle Stadium singles versus the number of people playing VGC. Like there's obviously more people playing Battle Stadium singles. And I think a little bit of that is one because you can Dynamax there. And I don't think Dynamax is horribly unbalanced in Battle Stadium singles.
No, I would agree with that.
I don't think it's horribly broken there. I think in a 6v6 format, yes, it's absolutely broken.
Mm-hmm.
But in a 3v3 format, I think it's perfectly fine. I think people have also said, man, if I can't play OU on cart, which a lot of people found out like as they were breeding like their first team, which is really disheartening.
Yeah.
I hope that gets fixed at some point. I don't have hopes, but I would like to see that fixed. But that was the moment where like I think a lot of people go, well, I used to play singles. I guess I'll try Nintendo's version of singles or Game Freak's version of singles, I should say, not Nintendo's. And they went and they tried Battle Stadium singles. Battle Stadium singles, like, while it's fun, I wouldn't call it the most competitive format, but it's fun. It definitely feels good to play.
Yeah.
And as an OU player switching to that format, more or less, I felt it was kind of a breath of fresh air to not have Seth length battles.
I could see that.
I say it all the time is it's kind of like playing a match of Splatoon. Like you play a lot of like first person shooters or third person shooters and the matches can take, you know, like 20, 30 minutes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you played something like League, you know, you're playing for 45 minutes to an hour or something like that. And, and being able to just jump into a Pokemon battle, that's probably going to last like 7 minutes. Kind of feels good.
Yeah, I would agree with that sometimes.
It feels really good just to do it and just like be able to play more and more and more and more. And then you can actually get a feel for the team much faster than you would be able to in OU, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels very good that way. It's like the halfway point between VGC and OU, but I wouldn't call it exactly the same.
What you're describing to me sounds like it's a diet version, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, in a sense,
that's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem. I don't disagree with that. Yeah. I don't disagree with that.
Because, yeah, I'm sure it's fun that it's faster, but, like, the reason people liked, like, a full 6-on-6 because it was, like, the full experience.
Oh, yeah, no, I also don't like it just from, like, so one of my favorite things to have done back when I, like, would just play the games, like, when I play the games more casually, like, one of the things I like to do is I like to find, like, a second person to play with. And I go, hey, after every 2 badges, let's like fight our in-game teams, you know?
I love it.
And that's like a way I like to do it. But it's really hard to do that in 6v6 still. Like even if you find like a second person to do that.
Yeah, because even locally, it's still the 20-minute timer,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So the whole thing's just nuts. Like the timer is just like a huge problem. And I'm glad we're doing a whole episode essentially on this now. But like I don't know. Like the way I describe it, a lot of ways is this generation feels very much like Game Freak going, this is the way we want you to play Pokemon. So this is how we're going to make you play Pokemon. And I don't like that for a lot of reasons, because one, I don't think Pokemon's ever been in a place where they can say, this is the way Pokemon is and should be. Especially with a lot of the stories, especially early on, depending very much so on headcanon. I also have to use my imagination to believe Spikemuth is a real place and not just an alley. So I think they should allow me the liberty of at least playing Pokemon the way I want to play Pokemon.
Yeah, let me stall my opponent.
Whether it be 6v6 or if it would be something else. Because I really felt like there was an undercurrent of just like, this is how you should play Pokemon, especially with like the last gym leader in the game in Sword and Shield being like a doubles VGC player. Which is cool because it does open it up to like the VGC, but it just kind of felt like a slap in the face over and over and over again. And I don't know, like as a longtime fan, I felt a little bit hurt by this game in that way. And I think the timer thing definitely hit a lot of the people who were okay with Dexit again. I'm not saying that this shift has been bad either. Like I'm playing more VGC than I have in the past. I'm playing way more Battle Stadium singles than I've ever played. I've already played in the past 6 months more Battle Stadium singles than I did prior in Gen 6 and Gen 7 combined. I've never played this much in my entire life. And I think it is more fun with Dynamax. I don't think it would be good without Dynamax. Just because you get to like go big with something and you get to go, okay, this is going to be fun. Let's go big. Let's have fun. And
yeah,
you can do some cool things. Like Hawlucha is a lot of fun still. Hawlucha will never go away. Hawlucha will never go away, especially because they keep giving flying type like good things all of the time.
Sick to my stomach.
Yeah. I don't blame
you. Hate that thing.
I don't blame you, but Hawlucha just gets like everything all the time. It's like an okay Pokemon, but Unburdened makes it even worse.
Stupid Pokemon. It dismantles my brain. Like the way I build teams, Hawlucha just completely takes it apart. I get tilted when I see it in preview.
Good to know.
That is good to know.
Good to know. I'm writing down a notebook. Good. Seth hates Hawlucha.
And Mega Pinsir, FYI, but sucks for guess, that. It doesn't exist anymore.
I could see Megas coming back. I could see Megas making
I could
it
too.
Come back.
I, honestly, Mystery Dungeon.
I mean, yeah. Based on just how I think this generation has been received, I wouldn't be surprised if it came back.
Megas I can see coming back. Megas actually just recently got an episode in the anime.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, Ash plays against Karina again, battles Karina again with her Mega Lucario, and then he gets a real Lu.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying that he gets a Mega Lucario. So that's going to be a fun thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
They had to apologize for Twilight Wings, but they're not going to apologize for this, though, huh?
Yeah, no.
Hey, we made the anime all about Mega Evolution, this thing you can't do anymore unless you buy a game that's 3 years old.
Yeah.
And that's weird to me. Very weird.
Yeah. I could see that returning with the fall one.
Yeah, because isn't it kind of?
Yeah, it's tied to Megas. What am
Legendaries.
I thinking? Yveltal and Xerneas specifically. It was their fight that left the gemstones infused with life energy that fuels Mega Evolution. So with the Legends returning, you could twist it to activating that again.
You can twist it. Yes,
maybe.
I honestly think it's left to return, whether it be whatever comes in 2021.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
That's
whatever happens in 2021. Because in 2021, I either expect like another round of DLC, because like I've said several times, this has the highest attach rate of like any DLC for any video game that ever existed.
I like it. I love this idea. Like,
and you just
say it every time.
You do another set of DLC. I think you do another round of DLC, you finish out the decks. And then you've made Sword and Shield the coolest Pokemon games of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just from a logistical standpoint, not from a story standpoint.
Definitely not from a story standpoint.
Yes.
I mean, who knows? We don't know. The DLC might have, you know, it'll have stories attached to itself. We know that already. So maybe it could be the best story.
Yeah, but I've seen a Gen 8 of all time. I've seen a Gen 8 quality story already. I don't know if I hold
that. That's true. I mean, the story was good up until.
And these would be
whatever.
Shorter stories, too. So, like.
They're good at writing short. It went well for the first part of the game. Like, the story was good up until it really started being like, don't worry, kids, we adults handle it. It was good. So maybe it's like Game of Thrones and they can only do short.
I mean, like we said before in like the reviews, they were you definitely can tell they ran out of time to think about the story.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely ran out of time because it's very fleshed out. It's very front loaded. And then they're just like, oh, man, let's hurry up. And they wanted to do more things, you could tell, with like Marnie, probably a little bit more with Bede. And they just didn't get the chance to do that.
Did you see her in the Twilight Wings episode, by the way?
I did not pay attention. No,
she was in the coffee shop.
Oh, that's cute. That's very cute. Yeah, it was a time. So, yeah, that's that. I mean, I still think competitive, though, is in like this weird place overall.
Yeah, it's very split between here's how they want you to play it and here's how Smogon is. Like, it's very cart.
I honestly
really
think a
it.
Lot of people used to play OU because they wanted to play OU on cart. Like, that flat out, people
exactly.
wanted to play 66 on cart. They played OU because they wanted a balanced way to do that. Because to be fair, if you just play like full out 66 without any kind of ban list, things get stupid. I've played Ubers. Ubers is stupid.
Yeah.
Isn't the entire pretense of Smogon, like OU, that like you could do everything you do there on cart originally?
It was.
And now that's technically not true because it's the same timer.
Functionally,
that was a huge issue,
however,
right when this all happened.
Yeah, because like that was their whole, like, this is like our like identity is like you could do this on cart. And that's technically not true if they don't have the timer.
I mean, they also have a couple other clauses put in there, like the fact that you see their HP in percentages, which you would normally have to calculate by counting the pixels on the thing. Like, they've made their own changes to become their own thing over the years. The timer thing was just adding to it, and you can't, like, you could go that far, but I mean, all the Pokemon that they're using still exist on cart, and that's really what they're aiming, is that all of the pieces are there.
I don't think they get that claim anymore, though, if, like, the biggest defining feature preventing you from doing it on cart was the timer at this point, though. Yeah, but, like, they can no longer... Yeah, like, I think, like, the way that Pokemon made changes definitely took a lot of shots at what Smogon was doing.
I don't know even if it was directly at Smogon, but it was...
I don't think it was either, but, like, it did shoot
that
direction.
Feels that way. It feels that way. I don't know if it was just like, hey, I don't know what made the 20-minute timer a thing, other than maybe, like, hey... We don't believe our servers can handle an hour long thing, which might be what it is, which is stupid.
Or I can be hopeful and say they did that to get people used to their format, and then they'll reintroduce the longer timers.
Why
now that everyone's had a chance to know what.
I hope you're right. I
just don't
see
it. To force you to play one way. I don't know. I can help. I can dream.
You sound like everybody over last summer. That was just like,
I know.
The rest
I
of the
know.
Pokemon with DLC, which they are, kind of. I mean, I'd like to see.
But they've had, let's not say the rest till they do the rest.
I don't want to say the rest. Yeah.
Like, look at all the people last summer. They were proven right. They're patching them in.
I still hold my breath on that until all of the Pokemon are in.
Yeah. Until they're all in, you can't say
because
they did.
I mean, I think the biggest problem with adding Pokemon back in is you still have what I like to call the unknown problem. Because
can I play with Snivy? Then don't tell me they're all in.
Not like.
What move the problem will unknown
is,
know?
They did the move culling this generation as well, which I think has kind of flown under the radar for more or less, because it only really took away like three moves that anybody cared about, and that was Hidden Power, Pursuit, and something else. And it only took away a few moves that people actually cared about. And the thing that you don't realize, though, is like Hidden Power is out of the game, and Unknown can only learn
Hidden
Power.
And that's the only thing Unknown learned.
And so...
Yeah,
and so Unknown, what is Unknown going to do? And honestly, what I think they should do is they should keep Hidden Power the way it was. Well, they should keep Hidden Power like the transfer the way it was, unless it's Unknown. Like Unknown should be the only Pokemon that can learn Hidden Power. Like let that be its thing.
That could happen because I think I'm correct. I don't know. When you transfer something that has one of those moves, it doesn't automatically delete it. It says that some kind of message saying this move cannot be used in battle, and I recommend you delete it. So Unknown will enter the battle and struggle.
You can keep it so like Unknown can still have Hidden Power, but nobody else can. Like you can kind of turn it into like a curse situation, but instead of it being a ghost type move thing, it needs to just be like your Pokemon needs to be Unknown.
Right. But I'm just saying from a functional coding perspective, that's what happens
can still
when
come
you send
into the game.
I
just...
It can still land
and
not break.
I think Unknown
everything.
Should just come in though and just know Hidden Power and be able to use it, and nothing else can use Hidden Power, because honestly, this world without Hidden Power is very nice.
I love it. Rest in Pepperoni's Hidden Power. You were a stupid move.
Yes. The only thing I'm worried about is Lando's coming back and we don't have Hidden Power.
Meh.
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared to see how things shake down.
It's fine. That means Lando can't counter Lando.
That's
so.
True. Landorus can no longer be the best counter to itself.
Yeah. So that means you don't always have to pack a Lando to get your Lando on your Lando. And we put a Lando in your Lando. 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 Calrissian.
I hate that game so much. I hate it so much. Gen 7 OU was pretty terrible. Don't worry. Lando's not over-centralizing, guys. It's just a 50% usage.
The more I look, the more I see it was annoying and it was boring to see, but it wasn't over centralizing. You didn't pack specific counters to it. You just had to have a way around it because it was on half the teams because it filled.
I think
everything together. Like it did a lot. It did a little all in one slot. It's not Magearna where you had to pack specific counters. It's not freaking Dracovish where if you don't have a water absorber, your team is dead at preview.
Dracovish. What a Pokemon.
It's not that level of oppressive. That's what I hope is next, but that's for Thursday.
Yep. So that is it for the topic. I think today, this is a good place to stop. We're going to take a short break. We're going to go take a look at a team when we come back. So we will catch you on the flip flop.
Hey guys, Seth Philo cutting in to tell you about something awesome that I've been absolutely loving, Vite Ramen. If you guys know me, you know I have a borderline noodle addiction, and part of that love has always been a guilty pleasure for ramen. Well, Vite Ramen is ramen, but get this, it's actually good for you. You heard me right. The guys at Vite Ramen have spent years making ramen that's nutritionally complete, and I absolutely adore it. Each bowl has 30 grams of protein, which is more than your average protein shake, 7 grams of fiber, all 27 key vitamins and minerals that you need, and most importantly, tons of awesome flavor. Oh yeah, and did I mention it still only takes 4 minutes to prepare? It's basically still instant ramen. You can head over to viteramen.com and pick up soy sauce chicken, garlic pork, and my favorite, vegan miso flavors, as well as handy utensils and other such stuff. And here is the coolest part. At checkout, enter code PUCKLE, and you'll get 10% off your entire order. That's PUCL, all caps, for a whopping 10% off. Anyway, I gotta get back to raiding, and you've got a show to finish. Catch you guys on the flip-flop.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the Episode. Our Pokemon of the Episode this week is National Dex number 639, Terrakion, the Cavern Pokemon.
It has phenomenal power. It will mercilessly crush anyone or anything that bullies small Pokemon.
I didn't realize that was the Pokedex entry. I thought you were just saying it's just phenomenally good. And I was just like, I'm no, like,
that's its sword entry.
And I was just like, cool. Whoa, did it get a new entry in sword? It did.
It's. I went to the Serebii page and it had an entry for sword. Wow. Yeah. I don't know where you would read it because.
Yeah, wow.
I really don't know where you would read it, actually.
Yeah, it must be in the code somewhere.
Oh, you know what? I bet it's data for if you have it on Pokemon Home.
Exactly.
Oh, really? Cool.
It's one of the 35 Pokemon that
yeah. Yeah. Oh, so they gave it a sword. So I like how they're like adding in the entries as they go. I think that's really cool. I do like that because I, like I said, I think we're going to get Pokedex entries for everybody this gen. I think we're going to get everybody in and catchable in like one, two versions of the same like generation. That'd be really cool.
We'll see.
I hope I'm right. I'm probably wrong. I think Linny and MP McGee convinced me last week that they could just like dump another remake on us that fills out the decks.
They could do lots of things.
And that's how they do it, which would be sad. Especially like with a year gap between like Crown Tundra and like the next game. I would really hope just for more DLC. That's just me though.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a fun team and that Seth put together for the OU tier. And I'm going to let Sublime just go ahead and get us started because you're gonna do the main man himself, the Terrakion.
Yeah, and also I wanted the Clefable, which came after it.
And, well, first, reason. Before we start, anyway. Though, Terrakion's a great Pokemon, base 129 attack, base 108 speed.
That's what you want.
It used to be a turn.
Yeah, that was good times.
Yeah.
Then the Fairy Nation attacked.
And don't forget Gen 5 VGC, we stand the Terrakotta, you know?
Seth, you're correct. Then the Fairy type came. Fairy yeah. type was the great equalizer for like a generation and then everything broke.
And this is why Gen 6 had a really good meta game, just saying.
Gen 6, I think to this day, was the best OU meta.
Yeah.
I concur.
I miss Talonflame. What am I saying?
I miss Talonflame. I miss Talonflame real bad.
I miss good Talonflame.
Good Talonflame, not Gen 7 Talonflame.
right.
But yeah, he's a decent Pokemon though. Decent defenses too. Base 91 HP, base 90 defense, base 90 special defense.
Yeah, it's got good enough bulk because it's like 90s across the board basically.
It's,
right?
It's a bulky boy. Fighting Rock isn't the best typing.
I mean, it's a legendary Pokemon, so it has like a good stat level, and then it put it in good areas. Like 108 speed's pretty good because it's like it's very optimized, beating 100.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm into it.
It's better than the others, which have kind of equal attacking stats. This one is the specialized attacking stat.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Keldeo and Terrakion got the lucky stat distribution.
They did.
Yeah, they reflect each other. So yeah.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Right. So we're just doing Jolly Nature because it's all about that speed, yo. Gotta get that tie or the win. And then we did full attack, full speed, 252-252 forward to special defense. And then we're using Swords Dance, Close Combat, Stone Edge, and Earthquake. So you're gonna dance and go crazy. That's what we're doing. It's also got a life orb. And Justified, not that you'd have a choice in the matter. Yeah, that's what Terrakion's doing.
Yeah, good for taking knockoffs.
I bet, because what's it going to do? Boost your attack? Do that. Do it. Do it.
Then you have a choice band and a sword stance.
Yeah. Knock it off. Exactly. So don't knock it off if you can help it. Then we have the Clefable, which is very thick and loves to help its allies. You know, we got that wish. So we're doing Leftovers, Magic Guard, a Calm Nature, and only 7 Speed IVs. What is the purpose of 7 Speed IVs, Seth?
That is to be as slow as possible while outspeeding Hippowdon with no speed investment. Because this is
very specific.
Because one of the movesets in there, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Right, because it's like usually I'd expect the zero attack, that makes sense, you're a special attacker, but 7 speed, I was like, wait a minute, that must be very intended. So we're doing full special bulk, 252 HP, 252 special defense, 4 in defense, because we're going for that bulk, of course. We're doing Wish, Moonblast, so that you have an attack, and then Protect, and I think, Teleport, which has really low priority, like you will always go last, so you guarantee you switch out. Is that the intention?
That is the intention. That is exactly it.
So you wish and then switch to guarantee something safely gets the wish.
Exactly.
Yeah, so wish teleport.
The thing you want to make sure that you outspeed Hippowdon for is because if it outspeeds you and whirlwinds you, you don't know what's receiving that wish. Because whirlwind and teleport are in the same priority bracket.
Right, so because they're in the same priority bracket, but you still beat the Hippowdon.
Yep.
There you go. That makes sense. That is a fascinating set.
It's the Clefable set right now.
There you go. Teleport. Who knew? I didn't.
Mm-hmm. Teleport was really big, and you can only get it through Let's Go, which is sad. You have to play Let's Go.
But it's like a TM there, which is bizarre to me.
Yeah, it is. The next two are, I guess, relatively standard as well. It's Heavy Duty Boots Rotom Heat. 248 HP, 36 special defense, and 224 speed. What are we at speeding, Seth? Explain.
Modest Q-Rem.
Makes sense. Okay. And this is wearing Heavy Duty Boots, which is the item I was most hyped for before OU was neutered.
Best item
in
the game.
Such a good item.
Yeah, it's such a good item.
In 6v6.
In 6v6, yes. Nowhere else. It is Nasty Plot, Overheat, Discharge, and Pain Split. This is just Rotom. This is Rotom. This is, I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. This is just Rotom.
Yep. You could slap Toxic over Pain Split if you want.
Yeah.
But that's an option.
I mean, it's Rotom Heat. It does what it does. Ferrothorn is our next member because you got to have something that hits Dracovish, kind of.
And survives Dracovish.
It can survive Dracovish. Leftovers, Iron Barbs, 252 HP, 252 defense, so you can resist Dracovish. And four special defense. Impish Nature, so you can help out with those Dracovish hits. it's got Stealth Rock, Knock Off, Leech Seed, and one of the best moves to come out of Sword and Shield, Body Press.
Yeah.
So that you can actually do more damage with that than you can with like Power Whip or something. I love Body Press. I love Power Whip.
It's so good.
It's a fun move.
It's basically coming off of base 131 attack. Yeah. Like, it's good.
I love Body Press. Body Press is like my favorite move that comes out of this. But yeah, take us home, Seth. Take us home.
You bet. We are cleaning it up with Mandibuzz, also with Heavy Duty Boots, ability Overcoat, obviously. EVs are 248 HP, 76 defense, 8 special defense, 176 speed. That is to outrun Jolly Bisharp is to
Jolly
outrun
Bish.
That.
Okay.
With a jolly nature. Mandibuzz has a jolly nature as well. It's got Brave Bird, Foul Play, Roost, and Defog. So you might see U-Turn on Mandibuzz or something like that.
Yeah.
But this one has Brave Bird because this team kind of fears Conkeldurr, and it helps there. It also helps with Keldeo. So yeah, that's Mandibuzz. Kind of standard. A couple little quirks, but kind of standard.
Yeah.
And finally, we wrap it up with Dragapult, holding Spell Tag with the ability Infiltrator. EVs are 40 HP, 252 special attack, 216 speed with a timid nature. That outruns all Dracovish, Jolly or not, and Scarved or not. The 216 threshold outruns all of them. It's got Dracometeor, Hex, Will-O-Wisp, and U-Turn. And one thing I want to just throw out there, I'm actually not the author of this team. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. I stole it from Thinkinator on the Smogon forums, and he put it together really well. He's got good justification for all of the stuff on the team. So just throwing that out there.
Ooh, good for you, Seth. Thanks for telling us that you're a dirty, dirty cheater.
A scout is honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a good team, though. I mean, it looks pretty standard. I feel like it's easy to drive.
Mm-hmm.
It looks fun. Yeah,
it looks easy to drive.
It's a very common defensive core with Terrakion and Dragapult as breakers.
Yeah.
In my version of it, I swap out Toxic on Rotom Heat over the Pain Split slot because that makes Dragapult's job easier to hex everything because there's no other status.
I'm not against that, yeah.
I'm glad we have Terrakion back.
Yeah, he's terrifying, especially now that Dugtrio's gone. Like, his best answer as far as revenging it and guaranteeing it's out is gone. Previously, you might run Quick Attack over the Earthquake slot. Now you don't have to. Now you can actually break past Toxapex. It's scary.
Ooh, I'm excited. I kind of want to try it out. Maybe this will be my first foray into OU.
There you go.
Jenny. We'll see. Other than that, though, if you want to try the team, it's on the Discord server. But we are going to shift gears, guys, and we're going to head on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the segment where you can send an email to us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we'll probably read it on the show. That way you guys can get chime in if you disagree with me or agree with me and you want to show your support, or maybe you like Seth better than me and you want to tell everybody about it.
Nah.
All of these things are fair things to send us in the mailbag at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. Last week, we wanted to know from you guys. I forgot already. But we wanted to know if you thought there were more remakes coming. So we sent them in. We've got a couple of them this week, and I'm excited to get there. But before we begin, this segment is brought to you by the very fictional energy drink, Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
You know, we've built up that brand that somebody could probably sell a product under that brand and they would make more money than they should.
Yeah.
By that, I mean a positive amount. So
any amount.
But this also means that we'll give the Greed Taurus badge to anybody who sends it in that we think wrote a good email that sparked discussion and made us do something cool. So let's get into it. I believe our first email this week is going to be from Ben.
Yes, it is. Hey, Puckle Crew, as always, thanks for doing what you do. I always look forward to the show. Thank you, Ben. That's nice. I appreciate that.
We like it when people like what we do because we spend way too much time doing it.
And we need to
smash that.
I hope a Gen 4 remake will be on its way sooner rather than later. It's a pretty low-hanging fruit that would continue with the tradition of remakes and also round out the Pokedex for the current generation.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Black and White 3?
It's not going to happen.
My desire to finally get a Landorus led me to Pokemon Dream Raider, which then got me playing Black and White 2. I'm pretty blown away by the depth of the game. It would be fun to see Unova with updated graphics, faster gameplay, and story connections to Sword and Shield or other regions. I can't wait. I'm actually very curious to see what they'll do when they get to Gen 5 for remakes, because it does need both.
So
it needs both.
So I think, one, it's really bad to... I don't want to assume that Game Freak will do anything that requires real work.
That's very fair. I think they've demonstrated
that's
that.
Kind of where I feel Game Freak is at right now. And I don't know how much of it is their fault entirely. Like, I think part of it is they're definitely bowing to the expectations of someone. I don't know whether that's the fan base or whether that's Papa Nintendo. That's just like, you need to have an episode, or not an episode, that's me.
A game.
You have to have a game every week. Or not every... God, I went back every to myself. Wow. I'm projecting. I'm projecting.
Oh my... You're really self-centered Yikes. Right now.
I'm projecting. Oh God.
Oh yeah.
Oh no. No, I'm just... It's a long show today, guys. But yeah, I don't expect... I honestly don't have faith in them to want to do something that would actually require any significant amount of work like that. Like, I feel like instead of relying on old stories, they would try to make something new before they would try to expand on something old. Which is disappointing to a lot of us fans. Because something I've learned about quote-unquote nerds is we really like continuity. And...
No.
Yes. I think this is very much highlighted in the Pokemon community, but also I'm an avid also Power Rangers fan, right? So something that I don't talk about often on the show. But
check
that,
off your bingo cards, folks.
Yep, check it out. I don't think that one's on the bingo card, but
just the Blue Ranger. That's
a different story.
Scrawn.
But in the Power Rangers franchise, for example, like they like try to force continuity in like theories about how things happen. It's real bad. It like happens a lot.
I see.
It's just something that I've like observed like throughout fandoms, though. Like, they crave continuity, and we get those nods at least. Like, Pokemon's very good about giving those nods. Like, they're just like, hey, I heard about this Pokemon trainer in this version, blah blah blah. Or they like mention the region and like we all freak out.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody comes up with a theory that that's the next remake because they mentioned that region. I mean, it's just a cycle. But so Pokemon's been very good at it. But I don't think we'd get a Black and White 3. Like, that sounds like something that would, like, honestly, my feeling is you just see Masuda and he goes, but that would be work. And then that's like how I feel the excuse is. Like, I know that's probably not what Masuda's like, but that's the sense that I get from him from his public statements in the past year.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate.
State of the game. What a fun state of the company. Yeah. Anyway, back to this email. Finally, random thoughts on a feature I think could be interesting. I've always been bothered by the fact that hundreds, likely thousands, of trainers are theoretically hoarding Pokemon in boxes, never again to see the light of day. Think of the ecological and ethical implications. Some world building could be accomplished by updating the release option instead of releasing directly back into the wild. We would donate our captured Pokemon to a sanctuary that aims to rehabilitate them before release. For those mons that just wouldn't be able to make it in the wild anymore. The feature could be connected to a Safari Zone-like area so they can find a new trainer. That just sounds like some, like, we all saw Tiger King, I'm assuming. This just sounds very Tiger King.
I haven't watched Tiger King.
Never have I been so personally attacked by something I 100% agree with.
What? By what? What did you agree with?
This whole thing. Those people keeping hundreds of Pokemon in box. Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, I've always thought of them as, like, enjoying a good life when they're in a box, though. So, yeah. Headcanons.
Glances at 123 different Treecko.
I mean, think about it. When Ash sends something, it lives on the professor's ranch, right? Mm, which is
that's
lovely.
How I feel about
my Pokemon ranch.
Exactly. I don't think of it as unethical. And I mean, in fact, I think the release of the of Gen 8, when we see Pokemon walking in the wild, there's plenty.
I do like the idea of the feature, though, where you could just be like, hey, I'm going to release these Pokemon. But it's like it's kind of like surprise trade, but en masse. So that you can send it to some server where they pull it from. But even then, they could just randomize it.
They would have to tie it to a reward. Yeah, because it's just feeling like in Pokemon Go, you release stuff for candy, you know? I feel like it would have to have, like, a candy version.
Yeah.
In which case, we're not releasing it for an ethical purpose. We're releasing grinding it because we want something out of it. Exactly. Yeah. So I feel like there's actually a conundrum with the ethical goals of making that feature desirable.
Yeah. I appreciate
that. Interesting.
I appreciate that, though.
Yeah. Anyway, there is so much potential for the Pokemon franchise moving forward. Thank you for always getting me hyped each week, Ben.
Wonderful. Thanks,
Ben. Thank you,
Ben. We have like two of the most normal named people for emails this week because we just had Ben. Like, usually it's just like Shaman Lover 96 and like all this other weird stuff. The Fluffiest Whimsicott. And then
what a weird name.
Yeah, then we've got Ben and now we've got Nate. So go ahead, Seth. Tell us what Nate wants to say.
All right. Hello, Puckle. I haven't written for a bit. I work from home now, which means I don't drive to work, which means I don't listen to podcasts on the way to work, which means I get a little behind. But I'm all caught up now. I think remakes aren't something that's ever going to really go away. If the last decade has taught me anything, it's that nostalgia sells. The kids who started with Diamond and Pearl are going to have a disposable income soon and want to see their favorite game, but rendered in 3D with fairies and TRs and all that stuff. And the kids after that are going to want to see the best Pokemon games, black and white, with fully animated, voice-acted Final Fantasy cutscenes. Okay, that one might not happen, but I can dream, right?
They would never. Do you know how much work that would take?
And all the languages. Whew.
It's never going to be voice-acted.
Little side note, I would argue that Gen 6 has a much better post-game than Gen 8. The Looker Emma side story is much more sweet and enjoyable than the Swordword Shieldbert story, partially because there's no one named Shieldbert in it, and it partially because Sonya is the worst. What?
Interesting.
Sonya is kind of the worst. I can understand.
How dare you be...
I think Marnie's the worst. Fight me.
Before I fight you, continuing. You can't spend the whole game telling me that Leon and myself are super, super special because we use Pokemon real to just turn around and say the old kings sucked just because they only used Pokemon real good. Maybe that's my personal bias. Thanks for still being the best Pokemon podcast, even if I'm not the greatest listener.
Horrible Nate. Listener.
No, you know what, Nate? Don't be so hard on yourself because everyone's having to adapt.
Yeah.
And you're just adapting. Don't be hard on you. Give yourself space.
Exactly.
You caught up. That's what matters.
You got here.
You're here.
We're all here together.
You are the best listener. You are behind and chose to catch up. I can't think of anything more admirable for being a good listener.
Exactly.
Imagine all the listeners that are behind now, Nate. Think about that.
Yeah.
When do you think they'll hear this one?
You are a great listener.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nate.
Yeah. All right. So that is the mailbag this week. I really liked Ben's email the best. I think he deserves
it. Can we give them both? Is that crazy? Can we just do both if there's two?
Yeah, we can. They were both well-written.
Because one's the greatest listener.
I liked them both.
You know what? Good. Ben and Nate, come on to the Discord. You can get your green Tauros badge if you ask. We really appreciate those emails this week. If you want to send an email and possibly enter the contest for $20 of AnimeGravy.com credit, you can go ahead and email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Next week, asking us for, I don't know, what's the question? What are we talking about today? What is your favorite competitive format in Pokemon right now, and why? I like that question. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Send that in, PucklePodcast@gmail.com. Maybe send us a team. Maybe it becomes the Pokemon of the Episode team. You never know.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a plethora of chosen answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very curious to see where that lands.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what everybody's playing. So yeah, send that in. And then, of course, you can follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, We have a Reddit. That's right. And Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And
do we use the Reddit?
No. And
follow us on Discord.
Yeah, get on Discord. Discord's the most important one anyway. It's always in the show notes.
Discord, Twitter are the big ones.
Yeah, Discord and Twitter are the two big ones that we like to use. I really intend to get on Instagram. It's honestly just because I've been too lazy to hook up my DSLR to my phone. So because I take pictures with my DSLR. And so it would be from there, not only that, but if you want to keep up with us throughout the week and do even more cool stuff, you can come to the Discord, like we said, or go to Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast, where I stream at least 1 or 2 days a week, typically on Thursdays. And another day, we did Jackbox on Friday night this last
that
week.
That was so fun.
It was a lot of fun. We're probably going to do more of those in the future. So if you want to come and play Jackbox with the co-host of the Puckle Podcast, keep a lookout on Twitter and stuff like that. Maybe we'll do another one Friday. In addition to that, don't forget about Puckle Plus, which includes things such as Battlecast, where you can get another show every Thursday from the Puckle crew. And then, of course, we can also go over to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. We're working on a strategy to get that rolling a little bit more smoothly and a little bit more consistently. So please go over there. We do intend to do that. And we really like it when people watch that content and talk to us about it. We like expanding over there, and it's a little fun to like expand your horizons. And then in addition to that, if you want to help support the show, you can go over to Twitch at twitch.tv/thepucklepodcast and give us a Twitch Prime subscription. It helps out the show. Or you can support the show by going to viteramen.com and picking up some noodles that are healthy for you and using code Puckle at checkout for 10% off.
I've used the code more than once. I have used the code more than once now.
They just upgraded their noodle formula.
Did they upgrade it?
Yeah. They're on version 1.2, which is a lot better than 1.1.
Is it?
So
is
get
it
excited.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but from reading it and reading the notes and everything,
I don't like that.
It looks good. I mean, I'm going to try it. Like, let's be real here.
I know you're going to try it.
So. Have you tried the Szechuan yet? Have you tried the spicy
yet? It has not shipped yet. It's coming probably sometime in June.
Okay, because the thing is, I want your opinion on it. Let me tell you, because I always get the vegan miso at this point and then put my own chili in it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So I want to know which would I rather do, you know? Because I'm a fan. I order the vegan miso regularly.
Oh, I'll let you know when I get it.
Yeah.
I think I got 20 of the Szechuans, so I'll let you know as soon as I get it.
Okay, I can't wait to hear how it is.
Yeah.
And then, of course, if you want to support the show, you can buy some t-shirts over at TeePublic at teepublic.com. That always helps support the show. And if more directly, you can go over to patreon.com where you can get giveaways, access to the bot where you can create your own Pokemon, and even more wonderful prizes. So... That's a fun time, and I guess that's everything here at the Puckle Podcast. I have been Trainer Thatch.
I continue to be Sublime.
And I'm Seth Vilo.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Flip side. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.